If not, then let us move forward into humble prayer. Let us bow our heads and find ourselves ready. And if you have that heavy request that is too great to be spoken, just that hand up and down as we go forward. Thank you. Let us pray. Father, I've heard it said that when you come forward in prayer, where do you begin? I'll tell you. We'll begin where you have instructed us to begin, by being thankful. The list of thanks is that we are thankful that we know you. We are thankful for Jesus Christ, your Son, who died to save us. We are thankful that you give us trials and tribulations so that when we know the joy, we are ever much more ready to speak of you and your wonder. And thankful we are for your protection. And thankful we are for your mercy, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you. We know that if we come to you and ask, you will do. We know that we have the boldness, not the timidity of spirit, but the boldness to come forward. And so we do. We're prayerful and asking for you to watch over and keep those who have been lifted up today for cancer, for fighting cancer, for those who are winning the battle, for those who have won the battle. That you be with all those lives mentioned, that you touch them all, one and individually. And that your will would be done. And for returns, Father. First of all, for those who have been away due to sickness, due to whatever has kept them away, and yet we get to have the privilege of sharing with them again this morning as they have returned back to your house. And for those taking trips, that's a very, very trying time. To be somewhere so far away from home, to step out the door, and yet to do it for a calling. Whether it be for work or for due mission work. Let them go with Christ. So that people may know them far away and say, I want to know more about what you have in Christ. Strengthen them and protect them, Father. Bring them back safely. And for the Middle East, there is an area that is so confused, that is so displaced, that the love of money has rooted in there, that the absolute blasphemy by so many of those who choose a religion that claims that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God has created such fight. Jesus told us, turn the other cheek. When he said that, he was talking about for those who would mock my name, for I will judge them accordingly. Father, let that judgment fall and peace be restored there. We need to be constantly thankful that you remind us that Christians are not the bad guys. I would pray that you would bring a little bit of strength to the leadership of this country that would stand up for the values that we were founded upon. Not freedom of religion, but the freedom to worship Jesus Christ. And that we will return back to one nation under God and follow it correctly. And that our brave people who are over there, missionaries, workers, family members, members of the military, that you would protect them and hedge up around them so that Satan cannot get his way. And bring them back home safely. And I would ask, Father, that you would humble us some more and remind us that without you leading us, we are lost. That as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, that as we say these words, we don't just mumble through them. We're not just doing it robotically we're doing and thinking about the words that we're about to use. The prayer that Jesus, your very Son, gave us is the prayer that would strengthen us and remind us and carry us and hold us through everything life has to assail us with. That in the last words, the forever and ever, that He reigns supremely. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm 116, the first 9 verses. And it's an interesting start, and if you've been listening to the theme here today, you'll see that the sermon title is called, You Are Being Heard. And we've heard some things being said that are leading us up to this message. And so we look at these first 9 verses. We don't know who wrote them. We know that they are praise from being saved from certain death, and not necessarily the physical death. Worship is a thankful response, not a repayment for what God has done. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 9. I love the Lord, for He heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because He turned His ear to me. I will call on Him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me! The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For You, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. May God bless this passage to our heart. May He strengthen us with it as we prepare for His message. Will you join with me, please, in prayer? Father, let us dwell not on what is yet to come today, but dwell here right now. Let the words spoken, not mine, be strengthening and uplifting. Let the words spoken be something that we can use in our daily walk to keep us corrected, to keep us straight, to give us strength. Let the words that we will see come to life today help us in the week to come. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Las Piedras, and I'm sure I'm butchering that one, Puerto Rico, is where a young man was born. 1938, his parents practiced brujería. Now, I know you don't know what that is, and I'm probably not saying it right anyways, but anyhow, his parents practiced witchcraft. Everybody, let me back up here a minute. Every woman in this room is mom. I don't care if you've had a child or not, you're a mother. Because when you talk of Christ, when you try to lift up those around you, you give that embodiment. Can you say amen to that? Would you ever look at a child and say, you are the son of Satan? But these parents told their child, born in Puerto Rico, son of Satan. They would mentally abuse him. The neighborhood that he lived in was absolutely the worst neighborhood that he could possibly grow up in. He had no chance from the start. He was already being cast into a mold which would constantly get him in trouble. And finally, his parents, not able to handle him, sent him to live in New York City with his brother. And as a teenager, this young fella began to run away every chance he got. He lived on the streets of New York, and he joined inevitably a gang, the Mau Mau Street Gang. And as a young man in 6 months, he was elected to the title of warlord. Now, for those of you who don't know street gangs, I had a little experience with that. The warlord is the guy who goes out and takes care of the bad business. He directs it. So before 20 years old, this young man was directed in violence. And shortly thereafter, the leader of this great gang got killed, and he rose to become the leader of the gang. Now, it so happened that a fellow named David Wilkerson was preaching in that neighborhood. And everybody's a nodding. Y'all know David Wilkerson. I'm sure he's got a special place in heaven. He was preaching in this neighborhood. And he happened to be encountered by this young man. And the preacher told him that Jesus loved him and would never stop loving him. And this man became so shocked by that statement, he hauled off and slapped him. Now let's stop and think about that for a minute. I stand anywhere from 5'8" to 6'4", depending on what convenience store I'm walking out of. And I tip the scales at a lot. And this past week, I had a coworker working down in a hole that was about 3.5 feet deep. And he was having a little trouble getting out of it. And he said, "Paul, can you help me out of this ditch?" And I said, "Sure." And I grabbed him by his right hand, and I pulled him from that hole. He never got a chance to grab onto anything. I just jerked him out of the hole. And he promptly told me, "Don't you ever do that again." I said, "What is your problem?" He said, "I weigh 220 pounds. You pulled me out of that thing like I didn't exist." I said, "Well, don't let this big belly fool you." Now, let's think about this for a minute. You're preaching, I'm preaching, and I'm preaching to somebody that would slap me in the face. I might have a problem with that, because my faith would be tested, but David didn't. He took it. He took the abuse from it. Wilkerson looked into this man's face and said that that man could cut him into 1,000 pieces, but every single piece would continue to love him and continue to tell him, never stopping, that Jesus Christ loved him. That afternoon, Wilkerson went to Mau Mau's headquarters and tried to minister to the gang. The young leader of that gang was a fellow by the name of Nicky Cruz. And I invite you to look up Nicky's books. He preached to that gang. And they run him out. 2 weeks later, Wilkerson had an evangelistic meeting in a neighborhood. And when Cruz heard about it, he decided he was going to gather up the boys and go teach him a lesson. And they went down there to beat this preacher senseless. If maybe even kill him, because they didn't care. So they went to the boxing arena. And Cruz tells the story that when he arrived at the arena, he suddenly began to feel guilty. And for some reason, something he had never done, he began to pray. Overcome with some kind of push down on him. And Wilkerson, preaching, asked the Mau Mau gang to take up the collection. Now, can you imagine a street gang taking up the collection at a church meeting? I'll bet a lot of money went in that plate. Maybe I'll get them in here one Sunday. He said, going backstage, he said that they walked through the crowd insisting that the people give them money. They went backstage and they were getting ready to run with all that money. And then suddenly Nicky decided somebody actually had trusted him for the first time in his life. And he went on stage and he gave that money to David Wilkerson. And when Wilkerson gave the altar call, many of the gang members responded. And Wilkerson prays with Cruz, and Cruz asked for forgiveness. The following day, he became converted. And the gang members who were converted went and turned in all their bricks and beaten sticks and knives and guns to the police. Nicky Cruz went on to Bible college and went back to that neighborhood and began to preach and persuade and save and convert. Brothers and sisters, I hear this a lot. And I want to encourage you that when you open your mouth, no matter what words you think have just come out of there, if you speak of the love of Jesus Christ, you are being heard. Period. Because you can't stop it. You can't stop the Word of God. You can't stop the love of Jesus. I don't care if they want to listen to it or not. You can't stop it. Once you start that in there, you cannot stop it. You are being heard. And great things can happen. And they may not happen that you'll ever see it. There's a story of a man who was hitchhiking home after serving a tour of duty in Vietnam, dressed in his army fatigues or army suit or whatever. He got picked up by a limousine, by a big-time fancy businessman. And as they traveled toward Chicago, Illinois, the businessman talked to this young fellow, and the young fellow spoke of his faith of Christ. And the businessman didn't want to accept it, but they talked. And when they got out, the businessman gave him the card and said, "Sometime if you're ever back in Chicago, come visit with me. I'd like to talk about it more." Well, time pressed on. Finally, one day, this young man, not so young anymore, a couple of years now on down the road, found himself in Chicago and decided he would stop in and see this businessman. So he went to the place of business. Got there and he got to the secretary and he asked to see him. And the secretary's face became twisted and strange. And she said, "Just a minute." And she went into the big office and the door swung open and a woman came out. And she said, "Just who are you?" And he explained who he was. And she said, "Come in here." And she began to cry and thank him. For years we had tried to get him to hear Christ and hear that message. And after you, sometime thereafter, he accepted Christ. And although we lost him just recently in a car accident, we know that he is waiting for us just over there. And that was you. You are being heard. Be joyful of that. The psalmist in his writings says that when we cry out to God, God hears us. And when we speak the name of Christ, we're being heard. You know, I thought by this point in my life, I wouldn't be surprised by a whole lot anymore. Because let's face it, I have lived fully. And there's not a lot you can throw past me anymore. So I figured I pretty much got it all sewed up, done, here at the ripe old age of 44. And I've been falling into a bad trap. I mean, with only 7 shopping days to go until my 45th birthday, I don't think I should be surprised or amazed by a whole lot anymore. But guess what? I am. And God sends out the reminders that absolutely stop me in my tracks. He reminds me, "Paul, you are being heard. When you speak of me and my son, you are being heard. My children question me about my sermons." We have a great little tool here. We have a computer genius, Greg Kiefer, and he's back there, and I know you're back there, Greg. There he is. He pops his little head up. And Greg and I talked one time, and Greg said, "Hey, I got an idea." And it's funny because Wendy had the idea and was leading me to it, and he said, "Let's put our sermons on the web." Notice he said, "Our sermons," because they're not mine. Let's put our sermons out on the internet. "Hey, that's a great idea. Let's get everybody listening to it." And then they can go, "What is he saying?" And so Greg, in this little box and in that machine back there, somehow or another, beyond me, turns these things into a file that goes up on our computer website. And we have a website, ladies and gentlemen, and I know most of you know it, and if you want to have some fun, go to it. There's even pictures of the ladies' tea on there, and you can see our latest wall celebrity. I get a phone call that a friend of our family has been listening to these sermons, to our messages, and it shocked me. Because this is a person I would never have expected to do it. And he's gleaning something. I don't know what, because I haven't talked to him. I figure if he wants to, he will. If he doesn't, God bless him for keep listening. I've got people that send me notes from hours and many miles away from here and says, got your sermon? Listen to it Sunday night or Monday or whenever it was. It touched me. Keep going. It reminded me that my world ain't right here. It reminded me to encourage my brothers and sisters, you are being heard. Talk of Christ. Get that love out. Pour it out. Let them know that this man that we call Jesus Christ that died on a cross is as real as this wood or anything we can come around. Let them know about it. Let them know that what waits for them beyond death is incredible. Because you're being heard by peers, by family, by children, by co-workers. The guys at work will get a hold of me at some point during the week. Hey, I listened to one of your sermons. Loved it. What's the next one about? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I have no clue. Poor Diane. She has to call me every Wednesday. Paul, what's the sermon title? I don't know. I've got so many things to think about. I know that it's about something and I have to give her a sermon title. It's the Holy Spirit. Frank has told me on more than one occasion. I had a note. I had a scripture. I got to the rescue mission. I opened the book. I looked at the notes. And I preached something completely different. Because that's how it is. Because we are being heard. You know why? Because God wants us to be. Mark chapter 8. Starting in the 27th verse. Here's why you need to talk of Christ. Here's why you need to open your mouth and say about it. Here's why I know you're being heard. Because Jesus starts it in these verses. 27th verse. Jesus and his disciples went out to the villages around Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. What about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Christ. Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about him yet. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Don't you love reading that? You know, my name is Paul. And everybody's like, oh, you identify with Paul. Man, no. Well, my name should have been Peter. Because Peter and I walked the same road. Peter had a big mouth. He was very hot-headed. He chewed on his own foot more times than not. He was passionate. He was fiery. And he was direct. And I am the person that would be just dumb enough to pull Christ off to the side and go, come here for a minute, man. You just told us not to say anything. You should be saying these things. You know, I'm surprised that Christ didn't look at him and go, and his mouth. The image just kills me when I read that. What does Christ say? When Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, and these words had to cut through him like a hot knife through warm butter. Get behind me, Satan! He said, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, now you listen here. if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Verse 38. This is why you're being heard. If anyone's ashamed of me and my words and this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. We sing that song, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. You are being heard. It's a pretty cool thing. We can talk openly about Christ because he said, do it. He said, don't be ashamed of me and don't hide this. Talk of me. You never know what words you will have fall on somebody's ear and lead them back. In Guideposts or Upper Room, I don't even know how long ago it was, the story made such an impression on me, I can never quit thinking about it. A father and a son living in a pretty rough section of town was walking home one day, and the father, doing everything he can to protect the son, happened to walk through and see that there were two men smoking drugs right there on the front steps that led up into his apartment complex. And he went up to him and he said, man, can you not do this? He put his son back here where he couldn't see. He said, can you just move until me and my son go by? I don't want him to see this. And the two men said, I don't care. Who are you? He said, look, I'm just asking you, please, until my son goes by. I need to protect him from this. And they told him and they called him a bunch of names. And one of them stood up and said, you ain't going to tell us what to do. And the man said again, I beg you, please. And the man smoking the drugs drawled back and punched this fella right in the face. Knocked him to the ground pretty near out. Blood, maybe cracked a tooth, I don't know. And the man stood back up and he goes, you can hit me 1,000 times, but I beg you not to do this. Of course, that scared him a little bit. And he walked away. The man took his son inside, dressed his wounds, and life went on. And the next day as he was leaving, there was the fellow who had punched him on the doorstep, said, how in the world could you do that? And he goes, because I have Christ in my heart. Nothing you can do can hurt me. I know Jesus Christ. And the young thug got all excited and walked away. A little bit of time passed, and that thug showed up on the doorstep again and said, I don't understand this. And the man ministered to him and explained to him Jesus Christ and the love. And the young thug walked away again and sometime later came back and said, I want to know more. And finally broke and gave his heart. You're being heard. You're being heard tell a story. You're being heard tell a truth. You're being heard when you're able to open up about Christ and talk about him. You're being heard. And because you're being heard, we read what the psalmist wrote. In our times of need, in our times of trouble, we're still being heard by God Almighty. The psalmist wrote the words, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. Hallelujah. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Can you say that sometime this past week you were overcome by trouble and sorrow? And you knew what to do, right? What did you do? Did you go out and eat a half gallon of ice cream?
Yeah.
Did you go down to the Chocolate Wonderfall at Golden Corral and say, fill her up? Did you pray? Of course you did. Why? Because he hears you. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. When I was in great need, He saved me. For You, O Lord, I have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You are being heard by everyone and everything. And that should make you smile. That should make you go, amen! Because I hear my boys walk up to people and go, are you a Christian? And I know that there are you brothers and sisters here that while you may be a little timid at first, I know that you have gone to people and said, do you know my Jesus? Or can I talk to you? Or can I pray for you? Or I am praying for you. Don't give them an option. Don't ask them, can I pray for you? Hey, I'm going to pray for you. They can't stop you. We need to remember that of all things in this world, that of all the things that we have the love of Christ, and we can share that. And we can show it to the world, and we can do things with it. And we will be heard by those around us, and they will come to know Christ. I guarantee it. And because we are who we are as Christians, and we fall short, and we become scared and weak and destroyed, we may call on Him, and He will hear us, and He will answer, and He will save us, and He will deliver us again and again and again and again until the day He calls us home forever. Amen. Amen. You are being heard. Pray with me. Father, strengthen us as we go from here. Strengthen us and let us push forward into the world this message. Let us be the Christians that we want to be. Let us be those children of Christ that would speak of Him so that we would be heard, that other people would hear of His love, and they would come to know Him. And this world, this generation of adulterous and sinning people would come to know Christ. We know Your return is soon. We sing the song, soon and very soon we are going to see the Lord. We know that soon You're going to come back and get us. We know that soon this world is going to fall away. And so we should be ever more fervent in our attempts to speak of Your Son. Thank You, Lord, for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.